760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is a very special day. We are growing in holiness, and we are so glad you are with us as we all aim to find joy in the journey. You bring more joy to our journey than you could know, and the secret to that is prayer. Allison, do you have a prayer for us this morning?
I do, as always. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we begin this Lenten season, we turn to you with open hearts. Help us to grow in faith through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Strengthen us to seek your will above all else and guide us to repentance and renewal. Your word reminds us, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Joel 2, 12, verse 13. May we return to you with true humility and love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And today is a very special day. It's Ash Wednesday. If you are Catholic, I hope you knew that. But if you're not Catholic, that's a very special day. You know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We are reminded of our mortality, and it is the kickoff of Lent as well. You know, that really spotlights Jesus's, going to battle, to war for us in the beginning of his ministry, again, which teed off after his baptism. And in our baptism, we also have the strength and the spiritual weapons to go to war and grow in holiness. And that is what this next 40 days are about. Any of you guys thinking about what you're going to do this next 40 days for?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I'm doing is, before I even get out of bed, pray.
Nice.
That's a good
offering
way.
Your day to
before,
Lord.
The alarm goes off, pray right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's so. And I should have been probably doing that all along, but you know, but I just think that, and Chuck Persner was telling me, he said, if you start the day, you know, alarm goes off, you do three Hail Marys, said, you're already one step ahead of the evil one right there, you know? So that's good.
I've heard this phrase, you know, I might not get the middle of my day right, but I can always begin it and end it well.
Beautiful.
And a simple reminder, man, we can begin and end with prayer. I definitely have a prayer-centric, that's my main thing this Lent. I'm going to try to spend a certain amount of time every day in adoration, a little bit that feels sacrificial. And I have a pet theory, too. I have a theory that even though I'm going to spend more time in adoration, and it can make me a little nervous, the amount of time I think I'm going to try to commit, that I will actually get more done by giving God more time. That's my running prevailing theory.
We'll check it in with you at Easter.
Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, it's like that phrase, and this isn't indicative of the time, but I've heard that phrase, if I give God 1 hour of my day, he gives me 23 back.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's like if I give God time, he gives me more. And if nothing else, peace and efficiency, that, you know, I think that will be.
And hopefully. I think I've brought this up on the show before, but Dave Ramsey, who does the financial stuff, and people, I've heard people call into his show and say, you know, it's like I pay my mortgage, my electric bill, you know, all these things, and I get to the bottom, and there's no money left to give to charity, to give to the church, or to save, put into savings. He goes, it's because you got your budget upside down. Flip it around. You give to charity. Pay yourself first, save money, give to charity, then the rest of it falls into place. And I think this is a similar thing where, you know, oh, I don't have time to sit in adoration. I don't have time to pray. It's like, no, flip that around.
Yes.
You put that in your schedule first, and then everything else falls into place after that.
Yeah, that's brilliant, brilliant assessment. Totally, 100%. Good call, Dave. And how about you, Allison?
Well, I'm going to spend more time in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, because truly, if you don't plan it in your schedule, you won't do it. And praise God, here at the studio, we have Jesus right next to us, so we can go and sit in his presence in adoration or just in front of the tabernacle. And also, I just need to get back into working out and taking care of myself, because I know our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I have fallen off the wagon with my scheduling. When I swim in the morning, if I do get to the gym early at 4 a.m. like I was doing before, as I'm swimming, I'm praying. So it's a beautiful double whammy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm exercising, working on my temple of the Holy Spirit, plus praying. So I miss that. So I'm going to work that back in.
That's good. Well, you could do what I'm doing. I'm seeing a boy, Tim Shevlin, for some personal training.
There you go.
You go. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he is good. I'm doing some heavy lifting with that guy. So, you know, I just want to put on like 20, 30 pounds of muscle. You know what I'm saying? Audiences to be scared of me when I do stand up. Laugh. I just stare at them and flex until they start to chuckle out
Josh.
Of fear. What do you think about that?
Listen, you always make me laugh. That's
you
all
being
I can
fearful,
say.
I can't. I mean, you're too nice a guy. I don't see that happening.
Oh boy. You know, this is so random. There's a guy in Atlanta. Well, I don't know if he's from Atlanta, but he came ended up having a pretty major following in Atlanta, and he did a lot of the late night shows, and he did this one stand up bit during one of his sets at like a late night show, and it was just so funny. It was like on like a major talk show, and he's like, "Yeah, man, I've been to this. Anyone here flown Delta?" And like, you know, typically just like you might hear like, "Ooh," like, or just like you see a hand go up in the audience, just, "Anyone here flown Delta?" And everyone's like, and he's like, "Answer me!" And he's just like, and it was so fun. It was so random. You're talking about scaring audiences. The whole place just exploded. This was like on a late night talk show. It's pretty
terrified, right?
Yeah. So maybe that needs to be my modus operandi. Did I say that right?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know, but it sounded great, Josh.
Thank you.
Well, we got a great show coming up today. Later in the show, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, is going to be reflecting on today's gospel reading. Chuck's going to be back, and he's going to help us get acquainted with the sainted. Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels, as well as St. Joseph's in Washington, is going to be talking to us how we can get the most out of this Lent. And then coming up next, Father Elias Dorham, pastor of St. John Chrysostom, Melkite Catholic Church in Atlanta, is back. And again, Len is here, and he'll be talking about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father Elias Dorham, pastor of St. John Chrysostom Melkite Catholic Church in Atlanta, is back, and Lent is here, Father, and prayer, fasting, and almsgiving is upon us, so we can't wait to learn more about this beautiful Lenten mission with you.
Hey, good morning. It's so beautiful to be here again. And I think I may have mentioned to you as we were getting prepped for this, we Melkite Catholics actually began Lent along with other Eastern Catholics Sunday evening.
Wow.
So this is our third day.
Wow. Lent. So, oh, boy.
Welcome. Welcome to Lent.
So you got a head start in the penitential season, Father. And for those who are about to step into it, and for those who are already in it, they may be wondering, you know, how do we get the most out of Lent? And I think you can shed some light on that.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I know we have a lot of different Catholic listeners and non-Catholics, right, in our area. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got Latin Catholics, Melkite Catholics, Maronite Catholics, Ruthenian Catholics, Ukrainian Catholics, Eritrean Catholics, just to name a few.
Wow.
All in our diocese.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Wow,
we do,
amazing.
All in this diocese. But I'm going to focus my comments mainly on the Latin tradition for the most part, but I'll make some comments from the Melkite Catholic tradition as they're helpful. So, you know, the church writ large teaches that everyone has a need, you know, for conversion, right, and salvation. It's unchanging, right?
Yes.
And so all of us need to engage in repentance as an ongoing disposition, and there are particular seasons that the church sets aside for this. So with Lent upon us all, you know, what I like to suggest to people is that they actually simplify their lives and they get with the program. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, they get with the church's program, right? So the church calls us in a very particular way during the penitential seasons, such as Lent, to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Now, the true fast is not just about food. And near the end, I'll share a comment with you all. It's not just about food, right? It's really about abstaining from the things that keep us from God, that keep us from being Christ-like, that keep us from growing in the Christian life, right? So the thing that we should be focused on giving up for Lent is sin.
Amen.
Right? And the things that come between us and God. You know, so we talked about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So if we abstain from certain foods or we fast, but we keep doing the things that are not helpful to the spiritual life, we're actually breaking the fast.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to expand it beyond thinking about fasting. We want to think about seeking the Lord by deepening our prayer life, by deepening our engagement with sacred scripture. We want to also remember that prayer and fasting are never separated from giving alms or works of mercy. And as the patron of my own community, St. John Chrysostom, says, not to enable the poor to share in our goods is to steal from them and deprive them of life. Mm. The goods we possess are not ours, but theirs. So as we simplify our lives through fasting, sometimes it's good to put aside some money, right? I know some parishes will have a special collection during Lent, you know, or a box you keep things in. And so that money can be given to the poor as a way of expressing solidarity and acts of mercy towards them. Mm. So we want to abstain from luxuries as well. And we want to seek this true inner conversion of heart as we seek to follow Christ's will more faithfully, because that's what Lent is about. And we also reflect on our own baptism, mm-hmm. whether that was long ago or recently, because in our own baptism, we were baptized into Christ's death. When he died to sin, we died to sin and evil, and we began a new life in Christ. So in a sense, Lent is like a springtime. It's a beautiful time of the year where we're kind of trying to renew ourselves internally, spiritually, or rather cooperating with God's grace so that God can renew us during this holy season of Lent.
So, Father, when we talk about how should we think about Lent, is it like the springtime you're talking about? Renewal?
Yeah, we should think about it as a time of renewal, certainly. But I think even more importantly, we need to think about it as a communal journey, mm. not just about our own individual effort. As a church, we're praying. As a church, we're fasting. As a church, we're giving alms and engaging in works of mercy together. So we don't want to think about it as what we are giving up individually. We want to think about it in terms of how we are going to do what the church teaches and engage in prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Mm. We think about it as a journey towards Easter, right? In the early church, Lent was a time of preparation for those who were preparing for baptism, and it was a time for the whole community to prepare with them in a vicarious way by fasting alongside them.
Yeah.
So we're all called to do penance in our own individual way. That is true. But to be united among ourselves, this season calls us to a common observance together. So really thinking about that communal dimension of how the whole church is praying, performing works of mercy and charity,
yeah.
and denying ourselves. That's a really important focus. It gets us out of our individual silos and helps us to realize we're part of the body of Christ, the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so as people embark into, you know, their fasts and, you know, try to crank up their prayer lives and, you know, tithing, things like that, they might think, oh, well, this is rather morose, or this is, you know, kind of intense. But I think we look at it the wrong way a lot of times, right, Father? So for those who are embarking, is it just about suffering for fasting and these things that we give up, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, no, there's far more to it than that, and I really appreciate that question. So let's be clear, first of all. So, you know, sometimes we confuse things, right? So I want to be really clear on fasting and abstinence, right? So fasting is it limiting the amount of food you eat,
yeah.
right? For those between 18 and 59. And so the idea is that you have one full meal and then two smaller meals, or I would say even a snack, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the Christian East, one of the traditions is that we don't break our fast until midday or some later in the day, you know, perhaps after the evening service. And then abstinence is avoiding certain foods, right? So in our tradition, we eat vegan for Lent. That's the ideal. But, you know, the Latin tradition is that you abstain from meat, certainly on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, and then all of the Fridays during Lent. But we don't do this in order to cause suffering. This is an opportunity of repentance. So you would say making reparation for sins, but also learning self-control.
Mm.
If I can say no to a cheeseburger on Friday in Lent, then chances are good I have the power, with the help of God's grace, to say no to bigger temptations and sins when they come my way.
Yes.
Hmm. So it's really, it's not about fasting. It's about growing in the life of Christ. It's about growing in the Christian virtues, particularly self-control, learning to overcome the passions that afflict us and allow Christ, through his grace, to make us more and more like himself in a process we call theosis or divinization.
Wow, that's amazing. Self-control.
Yeah. And to think we don't have to look at it from this kind of macabre standpoint. It actually can be a source of joy or joyful anticipation because we are becoming holier and better people.
And not only that, but if we're journeying towards the Lord's resurrection. Mm-hmm. So even though we're in this penitential season, right, the light of Christ's resurrection is already shining dimly over the horizon. Mm. Like I think I mentioned, you know, many Eastern Catholics begin Great and Holy Lent at sundown on Sunday. We have a service called Forgiveness Vespers. And so it's a time where we actually ask forgiveness from everyone in the community, you know, who are there for the service. We go around and ask one another forgiveness and give forgiveness. Mm. But while that's happening, the choir is chanting what we call our Paschal Ode. So we're actually chanting the music that we'll sing at Pascha or Easter, but we're chanting it in a very low volume. So it's sort of in the background, reminding us all of where we are headed.
Wow. So beautiful. So Father, any final words of encouragement for us as we are embarking this Lenten journey?
Yeah, do the best you can. First of all, do the best you can, right? There's an ideal and we all fall short of that ideal, but we strive towards it. We make an effort. Don't overdo it, but don't sell yourself short either. Sometimes we take on too much and we fail and we get discouraged. So it's always good to talk to your pastor or your spiritual director for guidance if you're not sure. If you fall down, repent, go to confession if you need to, mm-hmm. and try again and again and again. And, you know, last night as I was praying Vespers for Monday in the first week of Great Lent, I came across a line that I think is a great way to close our session today. Let us observe a fast acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. True fasting is to put away all evil, to control the tongue, to forbear from anger, to abstain from lust, slander, falsehood, and perjury. If we renounce these things, then our fasting is true and pleasing to God.
Amen. And that is going out on a high note. Thank you so much, Father Elias Durham, pastor of St. John Chrysostom Melkite Catholic Church in Atlanta. We are truly grateful. This has been so enriching.
Glory to God for all things, and thank you for your time.
Later in the show, Chuck Person will be back, and he's going to help us get acquainted with the sainted. Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, as well as St. Joseph's in Washington, is going to talk to us about how we get the most out of this upcoming Lent. And coming up next, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, is going to be diving into today's gospel reading.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:20.
Father Adam Blatt is back with us today. He's the pastor at Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh. And happy Ash Wednesday.
Happy Ash Wednesday, Padre.
Yes, we have finally kick it off. Let's kick it off with today's readings for Ash Wednesday, which is from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that many people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." Amen.
Amen.
I love this reading. It's, you know, we have the exact same reading for every Ash Wednesday. It never changes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's the same gospel reading well, pretty much every Ash Wednesday. And it's beautiful because it highlights what Lent is really all about. I think there's so many things out there. People approach Lent in so many different ways, which is nice, which is fine. There's a lot of different ways to approach Lent, but the core of all of our Lenten journeys has to be at the core of what Jesus is talking about here, and that's essentially, what are the three big things? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. What should be the foundation of our Lenten journey? What drives us to prepare us for the resurrection?
And so, Father, when we are thinking about, okay, how do I step deeper into this Lent penitentially? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we try to get super duper creative, but there are these pre-existing boxes that the church has for us to really embrace the season. So should we be really thinking about our Lenten journey from those three pillars?
I think so, yes. I think that those three pillars can manifest themselves in so many different ways to make everyone's Lenten journey, unique and special and meaningful to them. But at the heart of everyone's journey is those three pillars. I think that, a lot of times I've heard growing up, I've heard in the past, some people say things like, oh, I'm not going to give up anything for Lent. I'm just going to do something extra. Well, that's a nice sentiment, but that's not what we're talking about, right? That's mm-hmm. not the same. The heart of Lent is these things, prayer, the fasting part. It's not necessarily enough to just do something extra, but the purpose is to sacrifice. Take fasting, for example. Like, why do we fast? Fasting in this case is not just the food on Friday, no meat on Fridays and things of that nature, giving things up. It's sacrificing something in our life so that something creates a void. It creates a hole within us. And so that hole then needs to be filled. And so when we give something up, it creates either a suffering that needs to be filled with a grace. It creates a extra time or a hole that needs to be filled with time, more stuff to do. And so that in turn leads to a deeper prayer. So people say, I had a priest once tell me, oh, for Lent, I'm going to pray my Liturgy of the Hours. What? What are you talking about, man? You're supposed to be doing that anyway. Lent's not a time to do the bare minimum, you know? And so it's that prayer should be something extra. And so the fasting should lead to this void within us or this struggle within us that leads to the prayer that brings us deeper. And then that prayer should have this deeper conversion in our hearts that leads to the almsgiving, mm-hmm. where we give more to the church, more to those in need. It could be time, talent, treasure. Almsgiving itself can take on many different things as well. But those three pillars, they build on each other. The fasting leads to a deeper prayer, leads to a deeper almsgiving.
That's great, Father. And I think that if it's making us a little uncomfortable, that means that we're on the right trail.
Probably, mm-hmm. yeah. No, I think a lot of people are afraid of uncomfortableness, and it's not always necessarily a bad thing. But at the same time, though, just to a caveat to that, because I do get a lot of people at times who say, they'll say, Father, this is what I want to do for Lent. I'm going to give up this. I'm going to give up this, 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 this. And they'll just rattle off all these things they're giving up, mm-hmm. which is admirable. Okay, great. But why? Why give up 10 things when one will do? We don't sacrifice for the sake of suffering. It's not suffering for suffering's sake. It's suffering for the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. suffering for the sake of the kingdom. And so if you can give up one or two things or sacrifice one thing, whatever it might be, and that brings you just as deeply into that prayer, closer to the kingdom, into that almsgiving, as doing 10 things, then do the one. Mm-hmm. Because once you hit that point, you're suffering for suffering's sake at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that what's the most important part of that statement you just said, Father, is that individual shared with you what they were discerning or doing mm-hmm. or about to do. It is so critical to run that through a spiritual director, because sometimes those penances can really, that we place in ourselves, can really not be God's will, and it's us trying to do too much, and to the point where we're about to just kind of, our Lent's about to cave in on itself before it even starts, and we're just going to get discouraged. I really like that you said, keep it manageable, doable, mm-hmm. but really with the emphasis on why am I doing this and how is it drawing me closer to Christ?
100%. Yeah. Sometimes you've heard the phrase that less is more.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Sometimes it's not about the quantity of what we're doing, but the quality of it.
Well, and, you know, as you're talking about that, Father, you know, in the scripture gospel, when you pray, don't be like hypocrites who love to stand and pray mm-hmm. in synagogues or in street corners. You know, even prayer, you know, just having maybe a deeper prayer life, you know, where we're really focusing on those prayers and focusing on, Lord, what are you telling me in this prayer? And, you know, putting more emphasis mm-hmm. on that, too, not just kind of going with the flow, rattling off prayers here and there, but saying
absolutely.
Them with heart.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the whenever I talk about prayer and in any context really, prayer needs to be not this monotonous thing we just go through the motions, you know. But it needs to be with heart. It needs to be what I call intentional prayer, for lack of better words to use. But yeah, absolutely from the heart.
Mm-hmm. So, Father, what is a good takeaway for us on this Ash Wednesday, in regards to this beautiful gospel?
Today is day one of Lent, and so I think we need to maybe take some time today. So often, I hear so many times people who get weeks into Lent, they still don't know what they're going to do. Take some time today, if you don't know what you're going to do for Lent, and think about it. Or even if you do know what you're going to do for Lent, look at it through the lens of what we talked about today. You know, how is what I've decided to do for Lent, how does that fit into that structure of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving? How do I want my Lent to look, you know, through prayer, fasting, almsgiving? And what's my desire at the end? You know, because you want to get to the end of Lent, and you want to, it's not like a New Year's resolution. You want to get to the end of Lent and be able to look back and say, I am not the same person I was,
oh, that's
you know, when I started. You know, it's not like I want to do this to you know, self-help or self-improve. You want to self-change at the end of Lent. You want to be you want whatever you're doing in Lent to change you fundamentally to be closer to God.
Yeah.
Not so that you can just get through Lent and then go back to the way you were. This is, you know, it's think about that. So think about what am I doing for Lent? How is this going to, you know, draw me closer to God? And pray for that grace. Pray for that grace.
Well, I think you bring a great point, which is why this Lent, Father, I'm giving up taxes. Yeah.
Let me know how that goes.
Yeah. Uncle Sam says next Lent I got to give up freedom. So maybe you can get into prison ministry if I do that.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Father Adam Blatch, from Christ
thank
our King and Savior, for just blessing us again with this beautiful message as we are starting our Lenten journey.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
It is 8:29. I am Allison DeLuel from CatholicVote.com. A recent study in the Journal of American Medical Association shows that pro-life laws passed after the 2022 Dobbs decision have saved over 22,000 babies. These laws protect life after 6 weeks or offer near total protections. Pro-life scholar Michael New points out that while it's tough to track abortion numbers directly, more births in the states show these laws are saving lives. He also clarified that a slight rise in infant mortality isn't due to the laws, but may reflect more babies with congenital defects who would have otherwise been aborted. An IVF alternative for infertility that's holistic and ethical. FEM, Fertility Education and Medical Management, provides a holistic approach to women's health and fertility. Founded by Anna Halfine in 2012, FEM helps women struggling with infertility by addressing the root causes rather than relying on expensive IVF. Through their free app and global network of doctors, FEM empowers women to track their cycles and symptoms, understand their bodies, and receive personalized care. FEM offers alternatives to treatments like contraception, focusing on restoring health and supporting natural family planning. Their goal is to ensure women get the care they need for healthy pregnancies and overall well-being. For more information, go to thecatholicnewsagency.com. A little later, Father Mark White's going to be back, and he's going to be talking to us how we get the most out of this upcoming Lent. And then coming up next, Chuck Persner's back, and he's going to teach us how to get acquainted with the sainted.
AM 1160, The Quest, here at Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Chuck Persner's back, and we're going to be talking about another saint of the day. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck. Who is on the docket, bro?
Well, with the health of Pope Francis on everyone's mind these days, and again,
I know I speak for all of us when I say, let's be sure to pray for our Holy Father, to pray and fast for his recovery. You know, he's a man who's pushing 90 years old and he's got a number of health issues. So very important for us to pray. But his situation, coupled with the fact that we are in cold and flu season, kind of sent me in search of saints who we might invoke during a time of illness. And this search led me to stumble upon the life of a very interesting guy, a saint by the name of Saint Werenfried. And the vegetable gardeners out there who are listening today, and I would imagine we have a number of gardeners on the airwaves listening to us, they may want to pay particularly close attention to Werenfried's story in light of the fact that he is also the patron saint of vegetable gardeners for reasons that will become very apparent. Are either of you vegetable gardeners?
I desire to be a vegetable gardener.
You know, when I was younger, we tried to do a little mini vegetable garden or a fruit garden outside, and just, man, the bugs totally took over.
Yeah. Or the deer in some instances, right? If you don't put netting over it, the deer will just come
and
in.
We have deer. We have deer in the backyard quite often.
Yeah. Nice hobby as you get older, though. Maybe you can go bulk
it
back
or
to
maybe
it.
Even pots, right? Maybe if I don't, that's what I'm desiring to do. Maybe grow some tomatoes.
Be sure to drop some off if you do get around to that.
Okay, I'm on a mission this spring, this summer.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Well, St. Werenfried was a native of Northumbria, which is now northern England. He was born around the year 680 and was drawn to the monastic life, becoming a Benedictine monk in the early 700s. He went to Ireland, where he studied at a monastery with a great missionary and future saint in his own right, St. Wildebrand. So here we see again two future saints who connect at an early age, and this rendezvous with destiny, as it were, resulted in great things for our church, as it so often does when good and holy young people work together for the good of Christianity, as we see here. They went on to evangelize the pagans of Friesland, which is now the Netherlands, and you know, like most Benedictines, he worked the monastery gardens so as to feed the community and the poor. And he was well known for his holy nature, service to the poor. He nourished not only their bodies through the vegetables that he grew, but also their spirits and souls as well. And this is where he earns his patronage of being the patron saint of vegetable gardeners. The care of monastery gardens during the Middle Ages continued to develop the rule of self-sufficiency to reduce the reliance on secular provisions. And this can be traced back to St. Benedict of Nursia, who taught not only specific religious rules, but that from within the monastery walls would come all the necessary foods and medicinal and utilitarian herbs. So this is part of the whole Benedictine life. And Werenfried performed his duties well for many, many decades. He lived into his late 80s, and during those centuries, there were many miracles attributed to him. He died in Arnhem in the Netherlands, and many reported that at the site of his death, the scent of heaven was emitted.
Wow.
Some of those present scents, the fragrance of roses and other lilies. And, you know, he's probably most known, if he's known at all. I mean, we're talking about a lesser-known guy today. According to local tradition, after his death at Amheim, which again was around the year 780, his body miraculously found its way to its final resting place in Elst in the Netherlands. And it is said that his coffin was placed on an unmanned ship and that the ship floated of its own accord to the river city where he was subsequently buried.
Wow.
So a miracle right to the very end that his remains would find its way of its own accord, an unmanned ship, taking him to his final resting place.
Wow. It shows here he's also the patron saint of those who suffer from stiff joints and gout.
Yes, specifically. That was really what sent us on this search, was we were looking for saints who could be invoked during times of pain or illness. And stiff joints and the gout, you're both very young. I don't think you're too familiar with what these calamities entail. I can tell you the gout. My father suffered from the gout for years. It is painful. It's a buildup of uric acid in your toes, and it crystallizes and becomes hard. It's like walking on splinters and broken glass.
My goodness, very gracious. Wow.
And stiff joints, well, welcome to the club. I'm old, so I suffer from them on a regular basis. But yeah, we offer that up, right?
Really had a larger than life mission. I mean, he evangelized a large, you know, a lot of, had a huge evangelical mission in what is now the Netherlands and northern Germany.
Yeah.
So evangelizing a lot of that territory. And he helped convert many Frisians, I believe I'm saying that right, to Christianity, establishing churches and monastic communities. And this area was really steeped in pre-Christian beliefs. The fact that he could break through all that noise is amazing. And he's known for his preaching, charity, and healing. So just, you know, an incredible grace that he was given, you know, to do what most people would probably look at as insurmountable.
Yeah.
You're going to this foreign territory and sharing God's good news.
And it is. It's just, it's pure grace. You know, God chooses these young and holy people to be the conduit through which these graces flow. Because we know human beings don't perform miracles.
Correct.
It's God is the only purveyor of miracles. And it's through these young and holy people who say yes to him that these graces flow. And that's where we see the miracles.
And we've been through many different saints that have done that, gone to lands that they don't speak the language and have served.
Yeah, it's a true
served well.
Missionary spirit. God raises up people at the right time in the right places all throughout history. You know, this week we talked about saints, Pope Hilary from the mid-400s, who kind of came out of nowhere as an archdeacon and became the pope and led the church for 7 years. And now the scene shifts to the Netherlands in the 600s, going into the 700s, late 600s, early 700s. And here we see two young men. Again, you can never underestimate the value of the fellow saint who accompanied him. And, you know, when as I said, when good, young, and holy people step up to the task of evangelization, that's when great things happen.
Well, and two, just looking at the universality of the church, I mean, all these different countries.
Oh, yeah.
We're all in communion with each other at one holy Catholic church. So it's so inspiring.
It is.
Just to see that every single country, it seems, has.
It is.
Somebody.
And, you know, with Pope Francis in the news, some of the mainstream media outlets have been discussing the width and the breadth of Catholicism. And I read earlier this week that there are now an estimated 1.4 billion Catholics in the world today. And of course, we all know about the second largest group being the fallen away Catholics.
So
let's hope and pray that during this Lenten season, people will start to come back to the church because we need the entire mystical body of Christ working together. Without everyone, we're not complete. It's like a body without a nose or an ear. You know, it's we're not complete unless that mystical body of Christ is together. And I should point out his feast day is on August 14th, a day that he would share with a much beloved saint in St. Maximilian Kolbe. He's the man who rules the day liturgically on the 14th. And as I recall, his feast day is on the Vigil of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that's kind of a special two-day stretch there. Yeah, we have some of those throughout the history of the church. I know St. Ambrose celebrates his feast day on the Vigil of the Immaculate Conception. So, you know, again, with St. Willenfrid and the two gentlemen I just mentioned, Ambrose and Maximilian Kolbe, great devotion to our Blessed Mother. It's another trademark of our saints.
Amazing stuff. Well, we need to have them in our corner, and we know they are in our corner. We just need to call on them for intercession.
And might I add, when we call upon these saints that no one knows about, it's like having a private audience with them.
Yes. Yeah.
So now, I don't, should we have even done this segment? Maybe we should have kept them to ourselves because now all our listeners.
We're sharing the love.
Only kidding. Only
I know.
Kidding. Yes, we have to do that. So, St. Werenfrid,
pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
It's 8:42, and we wanted to say we love you, we need you, and I'll ask for God's guidance on this, because, you know, something was brought up yesterday, so there's kind of a running joke in the studio, because I have allergies, and so it unconsciously, you never know when you might catch a of mine in the microphone when it's hot during an interview, during someone else talking. All of a sudden, it just sort of sneaks its way into the club.
Uh-huh.
And Allison thinks it's particularly funny when this happens. And especially, you know, maybe it's a Bible study or a saint reflection, well, and you just hear a...
And one thing, if I could just jump in here. There are so many things. I mean, you're a professional stand-up comedian.
You're amazing. Mm-hmm.
So,
you're amazing.
And Allison could be a professional laugher.
I am a professional laugher.
So sometimes, Josh, you get her going,
and
she just... It's uncontrollable.
It is, yeah. And sometimes, I guess it's become such a rhythm. I mean, she'd be a great audience member that it just kind of happens off the cuff sometimes. Like, I don't even mean to do it, but, you know, maybe it's an old thing and it reminds her of something else, and then she starts laughing. So, Allison, with that said, you wanted to share something.
Well, yeah, yesterday while I was kind of going over the news about Pope Francis, you know, you sniffed and I started to laugh. And it wasn't about Pope Francis. We are praying for him and we love him. But I just apologize if anybody out there was like, oh, my gosh, is she laughing about the situation?
Yeah.
Because that was so not the case. The sniff it happens, and I just had a hard time controlling myself.
Yeah, so now you know the story behind the story. The sniff heard how do you say it? The sniff heard around the world. You know what I'm saying?
Josh Harris.
The sniff heard around the Archdiocese.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, just know we love the Pope. We're praying for the Pope.
Absolutely.
And Allison,
no
especially.
Disrespect.
Just anyway, that's kind of how it happened. And we love you and we're grateful for you guys. So thanks for hanging with us.
Coming up next, Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, is going to be telling us how we can get the most out of this upcoming Lent.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:47. Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, is back with us. And Father, how do we get the most out of this upcoming Lent?
Yeah, that's a great question. You always want to go to these three traditional penances. It's really in the history of the church or the tradition of the church, fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. But I think to get the most out of them and make sure it's a kind of Christocentric, it's a focus on Christ and focus on growing closer to him and to God, you want to know where we're getting these practices for. These aren't just something we just started doing over time. It actually goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, and it speaks to the temptations that they fell to. So, for example, you remember Adam and Eve were tempted to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because what? It was good for food. That's what they saw as good for food. And that has come to mean over time, traditionally, a lust for pleasure and comfort. That's something that all human beings can struggle with, wanting too much of good feelings or pleasure in our lives. But then it was also said that that tree of knowledge of good and evil, the fruit, was a delight to the eyes. That speaks to a desire for possessions or things. Of course, we need possessions or things, but we often want them too much in our lives. And then finally, maybe the most important, it was good to make one wise, this fruit. That speaks to this idea of the pride of life, pride of life, and really being my own God. You know, having my own right to make up my own mind about what is right and what is wrong. And it speaks to a type of arrogance, a type of pride, and independence from life and God. Not the good type of independence, but the independence of, you know, I'm pushing God aside and I'm going to do my own thing. And that actually is brought forward into the New Testament. And we see kind of explicitly something called a trifold concupiscence, or addiction, we could use that word. It refers to these three desires that get out of line so often, and you see it in 1 John 2:16, this lust of the flesh, speaking to sexual pleasure, but also pleasure for food or drink or good feelings or comfort, the lust of the eyes, the desire for stuff and possessions, and the pride of life. You know, that's, again, this idea that I'm putting myself in the position that God should be in my life. So that those are the key issues. And so then we move on to, like, well, what's the remedy for these things? Well, the remedy would be fasting for the lust of the flesh or this desire for pleasure or comfort, almsgiving, giving to the poor, and that would help us to remedy our desire, excessive desire for possessions, greed and materialism, and then prayer for pride. That's where we're getting that. But it's even more so, and I think this is really key, is we have to recognize that the reason why we can have success in all these things is mainly because we're sharing with the Lord in his life and his time in the desert, where he literally overcame these actual temptations. You remember that? So
yes.
He overcame lust by, what did he not do? He didn't turn the stone into bread in this state of weakness, right? He didn't look to satisfy himself in that way. Instead, he trusted in God, right? He said that, you know, every word from the mouth of God, that's how man truly lives. And then he didn't fall to this temptation to all the kingdoms of the world that the devil offered him if he'd worship him. Instead, he said, I'm going to worship the Father. I'm going to worship God alone. Though he was God, he still trusted the Father wholeheartedly. And then he did not fall to this idea of a showy act of pride, throwing himself off the temple. But instead, what did he do? He obeyed the Father and stayed with the Father's plan that he would be a suffering servant, completely dependent on his Father. So that's how we share in this time in the desert with our Lord, through these traditional acts of penance, mm-hmm. Fasting and almsgiving and prayer.
Yeah.
And really, it's all about saying, okay, well, instead of looking to pleasure and comfort to be my God, I'm going to look to God to satisfy the deepest hunger in my heart.
And you have a point, Father. I wonder, like, how do we discern those penances, right? What do we take on to maximize this season?
That's how I think you really make a decision. You look at what are things in my life that are too important for me from a standpoint of experiences of pleasure or good feelings. It doesn't have to necessarily be food or sex or drink. It could also be things like entertainment, amusement, hobbies, things that make me feel good that are too important to me that I need to set aside and replace those things with a hunger and a desire for God. Mm-hmm. And when I'm fasting from those things, I'm thinking, wow, okay, now how can I bring God into this situation? So that I realize, kind of like Jesus is showing us, God is the only one who can satisfy our hearts, you know. And then we turn around with possessions and we say, well, as Jesus says in the New Testament, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. But it does consist in the abundant life that Jesus Christ wants to give us, that our treasure of God's glory that we can acquire in heaven by acts of almsgiving, giving to the poor, giving to charity. And that is truly lasting riches. We're going to lose all our riches in this life, but those riches last forever because that's riches in divine life. And then finally, the number one thing is I got to remind myself that I'm completely dependent on God, you know, that there is a God and I'm not him and I can do no good apart from him. Mm-hmm. And that there's never a point in my life, as we like to say as Americans, I got this. No, you don't got it. God has it and you have to trust him. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we, and so I think with your own selection though, you're looking at those areas of your life where you choose pleasure over God or you choose stuff, career, things in this life over God, or you maybe look to yourself to get you through difficulties and stuff, and you need to instead learn to look only to God, and then select your penances that way, and that way it can be more about growing closer to the Lord, and not just a negative giving up of something, you know, where I just give up chocolate because that's what I do. Nothing wrong with that, but I think when we just give things up, we can end up, you know, into a kind of almost like a self-help. Well, mm-hmm. I lost 5 pounds or I started exercising. Again, good things, but make sure they're centered in Christ and in God, because that's really what Lent is all about.
And that's a really good point, Father, that brings it home and personalizes it. Like we can go, what is it that I particularly do that takes me out of that moment, that takes me out of that connectivity with God and others? It, you know, I'm sure as we all start to think about it, a few things pop up and we go, nope, not that. I don't want to hand that over. Let's just stuff it down. And that's why it's so...
It should hurt, though. It should be a sacrifice. So sometimes the thing that does pop up that you don't want to give up is what you need to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You know, great point, right?
You know, you have to count the cost. And sometimes you do try to do too much. But we do need to realize, too, Josh, and this is right, you know, Jesus didn't go out in the desert to take a break. He went out in the desert to go to war.
Yeah.
And to be tempted. And so if you experience temptation in Lent, don't be frustrated with that. It actually makes sense.
That's a great
answer. And when you give up something that is important to you, you're going to be tempted. And if you're not, you're probably not doing it right. Don't look at Lent as a success based on I didn't fall, but rather I grow closer to God this Lent. And then, you know, hopefully out of Lent, which the word Lent means spring, that I have this spring that kind of wells up within me and I can continue a kind of more Lenten lifestyle.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I don't just go into Easter and say, well, now I can eat chocolate again. So I'll have an entire box. You know, people fall back into those habits. No, it's more about, you know, I've disciplined myself. I've put God first and now I can reap the fruit of that. Throughout the rest of the year.
Thank you so much, Father Mark Absolutely. White, for this amazing segment and helping us prepare our hearts for Lent. This is definitely some amazing fodder that we should all bring to spiritual direction to discern best steps to maximize this season. We're so grateful for you.
Absolutely.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Okay, so we gonna speed through some important stuff you need to know. All right, and that's our scripture verse this week, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Mm-hmm. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Now, that's pretty great, right? But if you back it up and go to 14:26, it says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. So isn't that amazing that peace is especially prevalent in the Holy Spirit? He's referring to this gift he's going to send us, right? Mm-hmm. So peace is a person. It's not just a feeling.
Amen.
Person of Christ. And the other thing I just say is, the word peace, advocate, parakletos, means helper, comforter, and intercessor. So the Holy Spirit's guides to teach, guide, and remind us of Christ's words, ensuring that he will never let us walk alone.
Nice.
Beautiful. We need to call on the Holy Spirit on a regular basis,
especially
daily.
This Lent, right? I mean, let's reach for peace through the sacraments. The Holy Spirit is moving and grooving through the sacraments, particularly reconciliation and the Eucharist.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful message.
Yeah. Amen. So I'm going to close with a prayer by St. Augustine. Dear Jesus, help us realize that our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.